is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India, but at the same time an enormously popular cricket fan. Last time I saw Narendra Modi, he was in the stands at a stadium named for him during the World Championship of these last months. However, right now, Narendra Modi moves to the political side. He's running for re-election, and I welcome Sadanand Dume of the American Enterprise Institute, also writing for the Wall Street Journal editorial page, about Modi's accomplishments and what is left to be done. We're talking about the most populous country republic ever in existence, but also larger and more promising than any other country, and I'm including China. Sadanand, a very good evening to you. The concern about Mr. Modi has been around the margins, as I read it from the outside. He did this about immigrants. He did that about passports. However, the economy is everything to people who come to the polling. How is he judged for how he's managed the economy in these terms? Good evening to you.
Very good evening, John. Well, the economy is doing well at the moment. I think the last quarter growth we saw was something up around 8.4%. So Modi is heading into his re-election, his likely re-election in a few months, with strong economic winds on his back. Now, you know, people can argue about the longer term, right? Could he have done better over the course of the 10 years he's been in power? I would argue yes. But what matters for voters heading into the election is the current state of the economy, and that seems pretty robust.
And the neighborhood is troubled. The confrontation with China in the high Himalayas, the forever confrontation with Pakistan, which is unsettled, and we'll mention that, and also the relationship to the Indian Ocean Basin that has now become critical in the understanding of growth in the balance of this century. How is he on his neighborhood? How is he with managing the tensions with Beijing?
Well, I think you summed it up quite nicely, John. So in terms of India's two traditional adversaries, relations with both of them remain fraught. China and India, they have tens of thousands of troops facing each other eyeball to eyeball in the Himalayas. India recently announced that it was freeing up an extra 10,000 troops so that it could have even more force protection over there, because they're worried about Chinese aggression. The Chinese have been nibbling away at territory that India regards as its own. As you and I have talked about, there was an armed clash that led to the loss of dozens of lives in 2020. So that's the China situation. Things have still not normalized. On the Pakistan side, also, things they're not as hot, but the relationship has been quite uneven ever since 2019, when the Modi government unilaterally revoked the autonomous status for the Muslim-majority province of Jammu and Kashmir, which is divided between India, Pakistan, and China. India and Pakistan are in a dispute over that territory, and that is really kind of the relationship has really hit the skid since then. We may see movement in the coming year, but for now, with those two major countries, India's relations are quite tense. With the smaller neighbors, its relations are pretty good, with the exception of the Maldives. Very good with Bangladesh, very good with Sri Lanka, good with Nepal. The Maldives is a very interesting story because that's a small, the nation of small islands, which is trying to move more strongly in the direction of China. And so that's really one place to watch in terms of seeing how the India-China rivalry in South Asia plays out.
Now we come to what it sounds like electioneering, the charge of a theocracy, a Hindu theocracy. This is the BJP, which is understood as a Hindu nationalist party for its lifetime. However, I puzzle about this, accusing a man of being a theocrat. And I ask this honestly, Sadanand, if you were looking at America, would you say this person is a Christianist? Or, for example, I attend an Anglican church. Would I be accused of being in favor of a theocracy based on the Anglican prayer book? Is it that way in India? Because religion seems to me a bonus with a personality, not a negative.
Well, see, I think there's a lot of confusion, right? And I wrote this column in the Wall Street Journal where I pointed out that the people who call Modi a theocrat are, basically completely mistaken. The Hindu nationalist movement should be seen as a movement that seeks to place India's Hindu majority, which is about 80% of the population, at the center of politics. And you can have many disagreements with that, and you can sort of argue that they need to do more to include religious minorities, primarily Muslims, but also Christians and other religious minorities. However, their agenda is not religious. So, right, if you compare them to, say, for example, Islamists, Islamists could tell you how to set up your banking system, right? They'll say they don't want interest. Islamists will tell you how women should dress. They must always have their head covered. Islamists will tell you about, you know, whether or not you can have movies and music and all kinds of things. That stuff is not something that the Hindu nationalists are particularly interested in. What they're interested in is, in, as they see it, representing the political interests of the Hindu majority. They are suspicious to a large degree of India's Muslim minority, which has about 200 million people. But it's not a theocratic project. It's religious nationalism, but it's not theocracy.
Finally, during the Cold War, India was understood as non-aligned, the leader of the non-aligned states. But that was a long time ago. Today, there's much noise about how India hasn't taken sides. I don't know that that is a profound criticism. It's worked so far, and India's part of the BRICS. Is it considered stable then to not get involved in the Eurasian wars and to stay outside of them?
Well, you know, it just depends on which part of the Eurasian, you know, the equation we're looking at. On the China side of the equation, there's no doubt that under Modi, India has leaned much more heavily towards the United States.
Right.
And both the countries view China very similarly. They both want to prevent China from rising and becoming a hegemon in Asia. On the Russia side of the equation, India is very neutral. It does not want to condemn Russia in any way. It wants to stay out of that.
And by staying out of it, they've prospered and are in a position to be a leader in the Indian Ocean basin. Is that a desire?
No doubt about it. India sees itself as one of Asia and one of the world's leading powers. That is its aspiration. It sees itself in a competition for influence, certainly with China, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in Southeast Asia, and obviously whether it's in South Asia, which is India's immediate neighborhood.
Mr. Modi is 73 years old. The succession struggle always. And you name the Uttar Pradesh Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath. That's the successor in the wings. Is that Mr. Modi's idea?
Yogi Adityanath is, for my money, the most likely successor. I think Modi's going to win a third term. It's not as though he's about to fade away from the main stage anytime soon. But if you are looking at the next rung of the BJP's leadership, it basically comes down to a two-man race. You have Yogi Adityanath, who is in pole position because he's already the chief minister, which is the Indian equivalent of governor, of Uttar Pradesh, which is the largest and politically most significant state. It has more than 200 million people. The other top contender is the current home minister, Amit Shah, who is Modi's right-hand man and has been Modi's right-hand man and most trusted lieutenant for more than 20 years. And so it's going to be one of those two. If I had to guess, I would say Modi's pick would be Amit Shah, but Yogi Adityanath has a much bigger political base of his own compared to Amit Shah.
Sadanand Dume, writing for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. I'm John Batchelor.